So we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 5. There are two texts combined, 23 and 24, but we're just going to read 23. We'll read both, but we're going to speak on 23. The name of the chapter is Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Shri Paraduvacha. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Shri Paraduvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Shri Paraduvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Vaishnavas Shri Paraduvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Shri Paraduvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Shri Paraduvacha Smaranam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Shri Paraduvacha Smaranam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Vaishnavis Shri Paraduvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Paruvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Basyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Shri Paraduvacha
Prahlad Maharaj said
Shravanam Hearing Kirtanam Chanting Vishnu of Lord Vishnu, not anyone else. Smaranam, remembering. Padasevanam, serving the feet. Archanam, offering worship. With sadho pachara, the 16 kinds of paraphernalia. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakyam, becoming the best friend. Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything, whatever one has. So now I'll read the combination of the two verses together. Translation. Sri Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything to him, in other words, serving him with body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Purport, and I'm going to read only selective parts of the purport. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he had learned about diplomacy from his materialistic teachers, Sunda and Marka, was useless. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra cha. This is the symptom of pure devotional service. And just for reference sake, that verse means that devotion, renunciation, and attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead all arise in the devotee simultaneously. Just like when you eat, you become satisfied, and your hunger is satiated, and you become pleased all at once when you eat prasadam. So in the same way, you become satisfied and devoted and happy when you chant the holy name. So that's what that verse means. This is the symptom of pure devotional service. A pure devotee is interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna or Lord Vishnu. The process of temple worship is called archana. How to perform archana will be explained herein. One should have complete faith in the words of Krishna, who says that he is the great well-wishing friend of everyone, suridham sarvabhutanam. A devotee considers Krishna the only friend. This is called sakyam, pungsarpita vishnau. The word pungsa means by all living entities. There is no distinction permitting only a man or only a brahmana to offer devotional service to the Lord. Everyone can do so. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Sriyo Vaishas Tata Sudras Te Piyanti Param Gatim. Although women, Vaishnavs, and Sudras are considered less intelligent, they also can become devotees and return home back to Godhead. After performing sacrifices, sometimes a person is engaged in fruitive activity. Customarily offers the result to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavitya da. One must directly offer everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyas, not merely nyas. A tridandi sannyasi carries 3 dandas signifying kaya, mano, vakya, body, mind, and words. All of these should be offered to Vishnu, and then one can begin devotional service. Fruitive workers first perform some pious activities and then formally or officially offer the results to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with his body and his mind and his words, and then uses his body, mind, and words for the service of Krishna as Krishna desires. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tatya. The word Shravanam refers to giving oral reception to the holy name, and descriptions of the Lord's form, quality, entourage, and pastimes, as explained in Bhagavad Tam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and similarly authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize these vibrations and repeat them, kirtanam. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord, and padasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and the circumstances. Archanam means worshiping the Lord as one does in the temple, and vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Vandana means namaskuru, offering obeisances or offering prayers, thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Das, everlastingly a servant of Krishna. It's called Dasyam, and Sakyam means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach his philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atmani Vedanam means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one may possess. One's sincere endeavor to perform these nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. The word adha means directly. One should not be like the karmis, who perform pious activities and then formally offer the results to Krishna. This is karmakanda. One should not aspire for the results of his pious activities, but should dedicate oneself fully and then act piously. In other words, one should act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, not for the satisfaction of his own senses. That is the meaning of the word adha, directly. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnana shilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One should simply satisfy Krishna without being influenced by fruitive knowledge or fruitive activity. The Gopalatapani Upanishad says that the word bhakti means engagement in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not of anyone else. Then Prabhupada begins to discuss the nine different processes of devotional service. And he begins by speaking about shravanam, hearing. And so I'm going to read a little bit of what Prabhupada says there. He says, sometimes it is found that when one performs one of the processes, other processes are mixed with it. That is not improper for a devotee. When a devotee executes any one of the nine processes, navalakshana, this is significant and the other sufficient, and the other eight processes are included. Shravanam, hearing the holy name of the Lord, is the beginning of devotional service. Although any one of the nine processes is sufficient in chronological order, the hearing of the holy name of the Lord is the beginning. Indeed, it is essential. As enunciated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is cleansed of the material conception of life, which is due to the dirty modes of material nature. When the dirt is cleansed from the core of one's heart, one can realize the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sach Chit Ananda Vigraha. Thus, by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the platform of understanding the personal form of the Lord. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain how understanding the form of the Lord leads us to understanding the Lord's pastimes. And ultimately, engaging in the service of the Lord, understanding the qualities of the Lord, and associating with the devotees of the Lord. So this shravanam, this hearing, is what brings one to Krishna consciousness. And it starts one on the path of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, when he first came, as was being described a little bit by Krishna Chaitra Maharaj last night, when he first came, he stressed on this hearing. Just hear. Huh? Just hear and then chant. And there was little else. Everything else was wrapped in. I remember writing Srila Prabhupada a letter a long time ago when we were, in 1969, we were worshipping Lord Jagannath in the temple in Buffalo. And we didn't know much about what we were doing. So we would offer the deities arti. We would dress them on a codicy every 2 weeks. So we would bathe them by taking a bowl out of the kitchen and a towel out of the brahmachari ashram. Of course, it is a clean towel. And we would put them in the water, and we'd pour hot, soapy water over the deities and then dry them. And then we'd dress them and put them on the altar, and we would offer arti by offering a votive candle, and we would blow it out at the end and then offer it again the next time. So we didn't know much about what we were doing, and then Prabhupada started organizing the deity worship a bit, and we got a letter. And all the temples got a letter, and they said, you know, please tell us what you're doing. So we wrote, well, we're doing this. We're offering arti every day, and we're dressing the deities twice a week. And Prabhupada wrote, this is very nice, only you should do it more often. And so then I wrote him, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, can you tell me the prayers? Because I heard that there were all these prayers for waking the deities. And then I asked him also how to bathe the deities. Can you explain to me how to bathe the deities? So he wrote me back, and he said, putting the deities to sleep, waking the deities up is very simple. He said, in English or in Sanskrit, the purport is the same, and I'm sure in Slovenian also, the purport is the same. You just say, my dear sir, kindly come and take your prasadam, or kindly come and take rest, and then chant Gayatri Mantra, and then close the lights, and Hari Bol. And then for bathing, he said, it's very simple. All you need is two things. You need two hands and your mouth. He said, with one hand, you ring the bell. With the other hand, you pour water. And with your mouth, you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So like Maharaj, Chandramali Maharaj prayed this quote, prayed a part of a class from Srila Prabhupada last night, yesterday morning rather. And I heard that quote very, very clearly in this mood, that Prabhupada gave us a very simple system of worshiping Krishna. And he wanted us not to get entangled in all the ritualistic this's and that's of the Vedic whatever. He wanted us to develop love of God and concentrate on hearing and chanting. That was, you notice that very often Prabhupada talks about Shravanam Kirtanam. And of course he talks about the other processes as well. But Shravanam Kirtanam are woven through the other processes. Certainly Archanam, like Prabhupada said, all you need to do is pour water and chant, right? Padasevanam, we're serving Krishna by chanting his name. When we chant Krishna's name, Krishna becomes happy. Radha becomes very happy when she hears the devotees chanting Krishna's name. And so we're engaging in devotional service. And when we chant for other people in Kirtanam, then we're bringing other people to Krishna consciousness, which allows them to take up the process. And that too makes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada very happy. And so by their mercy, because we're rendering some service, Krishna reciprocates by enlivening us within the heart into pure, giving us pure devotional service. So pure devotional service is based on these two processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam. And it begins with Shravanam. And we, as emissaries of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our duty is to hear so that we can chant. Because by hearing, we become enlivened, we become knowledgeable, we become enthusiastic, and then when we give Krishna consciousness to others, they become enlivened, they become inspired, and they take up the process of Krishna consciousness. So here in this Shravanam section of this purport, Prabhupada gives power or a lot of credit to the devotional chanting of the holy name. And not only holy name in the form of the Hare Krishna mantra, holy name in the form of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam also. When the sages of Namasharanya were watching this dark cloud of Kali Yuga appear on the horizon, and they became very scared. They thought, oh my goodness, Kali Yuga is coming, and we're in for trouble. Somehow now, even though Kali Yuga is very much coming very, very fast, the people are asleep, and they don't even know it's coming. They don't even know that they're immersed in the Kali Yuga. So they think it's cool. They call it progress. And they're very happy to get, like, dive deeply into the ocean of garbage. But the sages, because they had purified vision, when they saw the symptoms of the Kali Yuga, they thought, uh-oh, we better do something to try and ward off this horrible calamity that's about to come upon the universe, or at least this planet. And so they began a sacrifice, a thousand-year sacrifice. And in the Bhagavatam, it's described that there were several questions that were asked. And one of the questions is, where do we go for shelter? Right? It's Kali Yuga. Where do we go for shelter in this age? Where do we find you? Because you've left. You left the planet. Where do we find you? And Krishna says, you find me in the Bhagavatam. You find me in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the holy name. That's where you find me. So if we want to give Krishna, we have to find Krishna. We have to know Krishna. And we have to have faith in Krishna. We have to cultivate a faithful mood so that we have the ability to give Krishna even to people who are not looking for him at all. Matter of fact, sometimes they're violently not looking for Krishna. They're pushing Krishna away. And devotees can become frightened. This verse that we're studying today is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite saints. Prabhupada spoke on the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj more than he spoke on anything else, if you look. And second in line is Dhruva Maharaj, who was another little boy Vaishnav saint. But Prahlad Maharaj is specifically famous because he was harassed. He was persecuted, he was abused, he was abused in horrible ways, dropped from cliffs and smushed by elephants and put in boiling water and just a chindi bindi, chop him up, pierce him, stuck with tridents and, you know, miserable situations. And Prahlad Maharaj had so much faith in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and the shelter of his Lord that he was unfazed by any of it. Even to the point where, if you know this pastime, this verse was spoken on Hiranyakashipu's lap. Prahlad Maharaj was sitting on his father's lap, and his father said to him, oh, my dear boy, nice guy, well, what's the best thing you learned in school today? And he thought, this is my little boy, you know, we've been training him so nice and eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And I want to hear from him what he heard was the best thing he learned. And this is what he said. Actually, the best thing I've learned isn't from my teachers. The best thing I've learned is from my spiritual master. And this is what it is. Shravanam Kirtu Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. That wasn't very diplomatic, right? It wasn't very diplomatic from the point of view of the fact that this little five-year-old boy was sitting on the lap of this great demon who, just by moving his eyebrows, would terrorize the universe. But Hare Krishna, Jai Sri Panchatattva Ki. But he was so strong and so fearless that he spoke the absolute truth. And we, when we have to go to the grocery store, we change our clothes because we're afraid that someone might find out we're a Hare Krishna devotee and they might not like us very much. We have to wash our tilak off, right, so we don't make any waves. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't feel like that. When he came in front of Hiranyakashipu, he was very bold. I'm a devotee of Krishna, and you should be a devotee of Krishna also. Why are you wasting your time in this nonsense? So this is what comes from Shravanam. And then because Shravanam brings us, it cleanses the heart. It removes the false ego, actually, Prabhupada describes. It removes the false ego. It gets rid of all the anarthas. It brings one to the form of the personality of Godhead and helps us to Aims and the Lord's devotees. The name is like a combination on a combination lock, right? Sometimes you have this lock and you have these numbers. You put the numbers in, and when you get the right lineup of numbers, then it opens the lock. Well, the chanting of Hare Krishna is like that. It's like a combination for a combination lock. And when we chant the holy name purely, or even attempt to chant the holy name purely, even Nama Bhas, it begins to dissipate the darkness of the age of Kali and allow us to enter into another realm of spirituality, of reality, which is completely not available to those immersed in material life. They don't know about it. It doesn't exist to them. But because it exists to a devotee, and a devotee has some taste, even just a small taste, the desire to share that becomes compelling. If you look at Srila Prabhupada, you see how compelling that desire to give Krishna consciousness was. Of course, he had the order from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was compelled to give Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, well, wait a minute. We're a dependent nation. We have to take care of political business first. In America right now, there's this election stuff happening. And everyone's panic-stricken because, as usual, all the people who are running are horrible people. And no one wants any of them. But particularly the ones who are in the forefront, they're particularly horrible. And so, like, it's no matter what you do, you lose. You're going to lose. It's a lose-lose situation. So everyone's talking about this stuff. And unfortunately, if you're a devotee, and unfortunately, if you're on Facebook, then what all you see is this stuff, you know, Trump and Clinton and all this garbage. I'm sure it's different here a little bit, but not much. It's just the names are different. Maybe the language is slightly different. But the topics, all the same. It's funny, on Nisringadev's appearance day, Radha Hashtami, you just see pictures of the deities, Radharani, it's so nice. But then the next day, immediately, it goes back. It regresses to garbage. Gramyakata. So, we have a secret. We know the secret. We know the entrance. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Srila Prabhupada, we don't have to worry about these things. Why are you worrying about politics? We don't have to worry about politics. We just worry about chanting Hare Krishna. We just worry about giving Krishna consciousness. We don't have to wait for them to change anything. It's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We already know that. That's written in the Bhagavatam. This is just the beginning. It's getting worse. So then, you know, Prabhupada went through some years trying to organize his material life and do the things that he had to do. Later on, he actually said, I could have started much earlier. And then he went to Vrindavan. He left everything. He went to Vrindavan. He wrote the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in 3 volumes, working very, very, very hard. It's hard to understand what Vrindavan was like at that time if you go now. The first time I went was in 1974, and even then, it was so different than now. There were no motor-driven vehicles. There was no road from Vrindavan to Delhi, so you couldn't just get a cab and go. It took somewhere between 6 and 9 hours to get from Vrindavan to Delhi. And so, and all along there were just roads, beautiful, fields, no shops in front of the temple, no honk honk, no craziness. It was very beautiful. And at certain times during the day, you just hear the bells from all the temples. You just hear the bells. And in the evening, everyone would go from one temple to the other. So from 5 or 6:30 to 6:30 at night, there would be almost everyone in Vrindavan would just be going from one temple to the other, taking darshan. And Prabhupada was there. I remember once I was walking along the Parikrama Marg, and I didn't really know where I was going. So I cut off the Parikrama Marg in what was the wrong place, and I started to come back into Vrindavan. And this little girl was up in a temple, and she started screaming at me, "Your Prabhupada was here! Your Prabhupada was here!" And she was like 12 or something. She ran down the stairs, and she grabbed me by my arm. I was by myself. And she brought me into this temple, and it was Vamsi Gopal Temple, which is where Prabhupada stayed before he went to Radha Damodar. And she grabbed the keys off to somewhere. They were laying around somewhere. 12-year-old girl. She opened the deity house, and she let me in to see the deities, and she showed me Prabhupada's rooms. And she couldn't speak much. She was just kind of pulling me along and showing me all these things. And it wasn't until later that I found out what this temple was and what its connection was to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada was in that place right off the Parikrama Marg, and then he moved to Radha Damodar, which Prabhupada said was the most sacred place in all the world, huh? Looking at the samadhi of Rupa Goswami every day, taking darshan of Radha Damodar. And then he left, and he went to New York. Right? He went to New York City. No Radha Damodar darshan in New York City. No chanting of the holy name in New York City. Craziness. And he didn't have Google. He couldn't find out the weather. He didn't have a mobile. No one picked him up at the airport. He didn't even come by the airport. So, but he took a risk, a great risk. People told him he was going to die there. When he went to Sumati Maharaji and he asked for a ticket to go to Vrindavan, Sumati Maharaji said, "You're an old man. You're going to die there. How can I give you a ticket to go to leave Vrindavan and go to America? You're going to die there. It's cold there. And what will you eat? They don't eat anything except horrible things. What will you eat?" But Prabhupada went anyway, because he was driven by this desire, because he had heard, now he was ready to chant. And so for us also, we have to come to that point where we become so absorbed from hearing that we have the urge to chant. And we feel so much compassion for the living entities that we just can't not chant. We can't not tell people about Krishna, because we have the solution. In America, there's a big problem with pharmaceuticals because people find cures to diseases, but they don't want to tell them to anybody. So they charge like a huge amount of money. I have a very good friend who's a devotee who's a pharmacist. And he tells me that some of the medicines that are the best medicines, they cost like $1,500 for one pill. Because they keep their secret. It's not like they have the altruistic motive of saving the world from disease. They want to make money. And so even though they know secrets, they don't share them. They're very expensive. But devotees aren't like that. They know the secret to ending repeated birth and death. And it's free. And not only is it free, but when you give it out, you get more. Right? You give it out and you get more. So it's a good investment. Because there's not many things that you can give away everything and then you get twice as much back or multiple times more back. So it's a very good investment when we give the holy name to people, when we hear and then we chant. And not only do we chant by our mouth, we chant by our body, our mind, the way we think, the way we act, right? Achar and prachar. Haridas Thakur, you are a great saint because you speak and you behave. That's what Sanatana Goswami said. You're perfect because your achar and your prachar are just in line. You speak perfectly, you preach the holy name, and your behavior preaches the holy name. So this is very important to us, that we preach by our behavior. If we dress in jeans every time we go out to the store, then we don't get to preach by our behavior because we're trying to be incognito as a materialistic idiot. Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to do that? So better we preach as devotees and people see our behavior and think, wow, they're different than the average materialistic people. What are they into? I want to know this thing. I sense it. There's something different. I want to know this thing. And I want to take it. I want to find out about it. What are you doing anyway? Who are you? So this is the mode of Prabhupada. Prabhupada walked in to New York City wearing saffron robes and white plastic pointy shoes. And he looked like he had dropped out of a, you know, some kind of extraterrestrial vehicle, right? UFO. Unidentified flying object. So Srila Prabhupada looked, he had stepped off some UFO. But in reality, he had stepped off a Vaikuntha airplane. And he was determined to take as many people on that airplane as possible. So when we actually avoid the 10 offenses against chanting the holy name, then we look differently. Because very often we chant the 10 offenses, but we say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But what do we do when we avoid the 10 offenses? Right? What do we look like when we chant, when we're 10 offenses? So when we avoid the 10 offenses, then we go around chanting the glories of the devotees all the time. Right? No, we don't just not chant their horrible pastimes or what horrible things they do, but we chant their glories. We see their glories. We see how wonderful they are, and we're eager to tell, to see the good in people. You see, with Prahlad, even though his father was such a nonsense, at the end, what did he ask for? Let my father get the mercy of Krishna. Let my father, you be merciful to him. Let him make spiritual advancement. Let him have pure devotional service. And we hear so many devotees, Vasudev Dutt, Prabhupada said, was more merciful than even Jesus Christ, because he didn't care if you followed him. He was willing to take the sinful reactions for everybody, no matter what. So that's what we look like. When we don't offend the devotees, when we don't find fault, blaspheme the devotees, we look like people who walk around and see the glories of people. We see the glories of the devotees. We worship Krishna unflinchingly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're not diverted by demigod worship or other things, astrology, you know, all these things that we think, well, if I do this puja and if I, you know, wear this stone or if I have this kavacha or I do this thing, then that will protect. No, we have unflinching faith. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has everything under control. We give full respect and reverence to our spiritual master. What he says, we understand to be coming directly from Krishna. And so we have faith that even though we may not understand it sometimes, even though it may appear to be interesting to us, we don't really get it, but we understand that Krishna is speaking through this disciplic succession. And by following our spiritual master with awe and reverence, with respect, then we'll be connected to the holy name. We rigidly or daily, nityam bhagavata sevaya. We daily read the books of Srila Prabhupada, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We study it so that we can understand it deeply, so that we can give it in Krishna, and also our faith will be strong. So we read it with attention, not just 5 minutes before we go to bed and we're half asleep and then we fall asleep with the book and falls on the floor and we realize it's time to go to sleep. No, we actually try to study the Bhagavatam. And we know within our heart that the holy name is pure and fully transcendental. We accept the glories of the holy name as surpassing all other kinds of pious activities. We have no desire to commit sinful activities. So it's not like we have to follow the four regulative principles and we have to come to the morning program. But we want to do those things. We have no interest in breaking the four regulative principles. We have no interest in doing any sinful activities because we're satisfied in our service to Krishna. We are eager to share the holy name with everybody, especially those who are innocent and faithful. And we look for those people. We look for those people who are eager to hear. We try to find places where we can go and meet those people and inspire them to take up the Hare Krishna mantra and to take up the process of devotional service. We're not attracted to ritualistic activities. We don't think that we need those things. Those things are not necessary. Sometimes, like Prabhupada did, was described yesterday, that he had to take it up because it was, you know, circumstantially, time, place, and circumstance demanded it. But his faith was unflinchingly in the holy name. Everything else was just like, okay, what if you want me to? I'll do it because I don't want to offend you. But the fact of the matter is, it's all a waste of time. And if you see Prabhupada in that, watch that video of Prabhupada's at the installation, you really see that in the way he participated. We chant with full attention. We try to chant, to fix our mind. The mind wanders here and there and goes everywhere. Chanchala Mahima na Krishna. It's like every place. Chanchala means coming and going and coming and going. But we bring it back and we bring it back and we bring it back until finally it stays put for 2 seconds. And we actually get to hear a mantra or two, or even a word, a name or two. And we keep doing that. We don't lose faith, but we keep doing that because we know that ultimately we can control the mind by chanting the holy name. And ultimately we surrender fully to that holy name, to have faith in the holy name that by hearing and chanting, our lives will become pure. So this paper here, even though it's partly in Slovenian, it says that in the morning I'm supposed to stop at 8:45, and I think the Bhagavatam police are going to get me because I went over. But if there's any questions, maybe I can answer one or two. Yes, Prabhu.
Mm. Or either due to some special Krishna mercy, but in a situation due to their perspective, they are lacking the greatest asset which great devotees from Srimad Bhagavatam have, which is unflinching faith in Krishna and the realization connected with that.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, they get frustrated and angry, and as a consequence of that, they are starting making some due to envy, some
offenses. You have to realize your sphere of influence. You can't change other people's perspectives necessarily. Depending on your relationship with that person and your ability, you might be able to have a positive influence. And your good example will have a positive influence even if you don't try. It will have more of a positive influence than you're trying, actually. Do speaks louder than what you say. So by behaving in a nice way and being understanding, or, you know, hearing and trying to offer some guidance if you can, then that's great. That will have the most impact. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes, you know, you said at the beginning of your question that some people are in anxiety or suffering because they don't know Krishna, or they're influenced by the three modes of material nature, or sometimes it's because of Krishna's arrangement. But that's not an or, because Krishna's arrangement is there all the time, and how we see it is what causes our suffering. I mean, Prahlada Maharaj was in a very difficult situation. And the Pandavas, you know, the Pandavas were in exile for 12, 13 years, right? And they didn't read the Mahabharata. So they didn't know the end of the story. They didn't know that everything was going to work out all right and they were going to win and, you know, Yudhisthira was going to be crowned king and blah, blah, blah. They didn't know all that stuff because they hadn't read the book. So we read the book and we think, okay, everything's going to be okay, you know, and maybe we get mad at Duryodhana or Dhritarashtra, but still in the back of our head, we know it's all going to be okay. But they didn't know that. They had complete faith in Krishna. It's not like they went to Krishna and said, Krishna, what are you doing here? You know, look at Duryodhana's enjoying the kingdom. Here we are out in the wilderness. You know, we have nothing to eat. And, you know, so many people are trying to kill us, cheating us. Duryodhana set up an enjoying place right next to the Pandavas' camp and tried to make them envious of him because he was drinking and enjoying himself so much. But they never once entertained that idea. They always had complete faith in Krishna. So how to develop that faith is the real question. And people who are privileged to, or not even privileged, but make the effort to refresh their connection with Krishna on a regular basis, no matter what happens. There's no question that trouble will happen. Kali Yuga is certified. Dukalayam Shashvatam. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. It's the material world is temporary and full of misery. It's just the way it is. So if you're going to get bent out of shape every time you have a thing happen to you that confirms that, then you're not really connecting with the philosophy, because the philosophy tells you this is what's going to happen. It's going to be miserable here. And if you can see it, that means that you have some knowledge, because the rest of the people, they're suffering and they think that I'll fix it by getting a new washing machine, or I'll fix it by getting a better car, or I'll fix it by getting a new iPad, or I'll fix it by getting another wife. And a devotee kind of knows that those things aren't going to work, so they may get frustrated and angry. But all we can do is help them by giving them remembrance of Krishna. Let's read together. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the 3rd verse in the purport, Prabhupada says that faith is created by the association of devotees. And also we know that by hearing and chanting, by hearing the Bhagavatam, by reading regularly, by chanting the holy name, all that is inauspicious in the heart becomes cleared away. So those two things, if we hear and chant, and if we associate with devotees. So from your perspective, all you can do is be a devotee and be good association. Just be good association. Be loving, good association, as much as you can. And if you find that, you know, you can't because there's some pushing away or envy or anger, then back up. But at least from a distance, you can set a good example. And you can see those things in your life. Let each thing you experience be a lesson to you. Because Krishna, Prabhupada said, calls it teaching the daughter by teaching the daughter-in-law. That the mother teaches the daughter, the mother teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. And she works with her daughter, and the daughter-in-law is watching. Oh, this is what he likes, because this woman brought him up. So this is how he likes this preparation cooked, and this is how he... And she learns, so when she gets married, she can be a good wife. So for us, people learn by watching us be devotees. And if we behave by devotees, that's the best so we can do. Otherwise, we just get frustrated. I hope that's helpful. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, you can pray for faith and love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can ask for faith and love in a new iPod. No, there's a song, you know, that the is very popular amongst Hindus. It ends with Swamin Jaya Jagadish Hari. And Prabhupada told us not to chant it because it was always asking for materialistic things. So you can ask for a new DVD and a house by the sea, Swamin Jaya Jagadisha Hari. But if you go to the Swamin Jaya Jagadisha Hari and just ask for pure devotional service, then Krishna will help you. Will help us. Yes, Mataji.
You mentioned the importance of associating with Krishna.
Of what?
Associating,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a difficult topic because sometimes devotees associate, you know, some conversations about personal topics. And I don't know if, how to say, association is talking about Krishna chanting together, or also talking about personal topics, because I'm not sure if it's a kind of an impersonal thing.
Well, in the Nectar of Instruction, it describes the six exchanges of love between devotees. And it describes that when you're associating with a friend, you should be a friend. When you're associating with equals, you should be friendly. So friends reveal their mind in confidence and inquire confidentially. And as a friend, you hear and you respond with Krishna. You try to take that personal thing and filter it through the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and then discuss it in that way. If you find that that association is taking you down or agitating your mind, then change the topic. Or let's go have kirtan. Or, you know, can I treat you to a galabjaman? Or whatever. You know what I mean? You have to see your limits. Like I said to him, you have to see what your sphere of influence is. And if it gets too much for you, then you can't handle it. Then you have to send that person to somebody else and protect yourself. But if you're a friend, then as much as possible, try to be a friend and try to help that person see things through the eyes of Shastra. That's what a devotee association means. Okay, I think I should stop. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.